to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. We'd like to read verses 7 through verse 14. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, or without question, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians, of course, was written by Paul, who was a missionary. He wrote this letter from a Roman prison to the church of Philippi, which was a supporting church of Paul. We learn that from Philippians chapter 4. The central character of the book is Jesus Christ. In 104 verses, Paul refers to him by name over 50 times. So the central character is Christ. The theme of the book is living a Christ-centered life. The book or letter serves as an encouragement to live life in Christ, to live lives that reflect Jesus Christ, to live lives pursuing Jesus Christ, and simply to just keep moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. We see this all through the book of Philippians. Throughout the book, Paul is teaching that there ought to be a direct correlation between our lives and Jesus Christ, and that our lives ought to be shaped by Jesus Christ, that our lives ought to be controlled and dominated by Christ, that Christ ought to be an influential force in our lives, and that Christ ought to be the center of our lives. He ought to be the object of our lives. He ought to be the interest of our lives, the passion, and the purpose of our lives. And as you read through Philippians, especially the verses we just read, it's like an open window into the heart of Paul. We learn much about Paul from the book of Philippians. In our text, we see his heart concerning Christ. We see his feelings concerning Christ. We see his mindset concerning Jesus Christ. We see his determination and his devotion toward Jesus Christ. In our text, we see that Paul is a man who is filled with aspirations for Christ. He has strong desires for Christ. He has a hunger and a thirst and an eagerness for Christ. Our text paints a picture of a passionate, enthusiastic pursuit of Jesus Christ. Notice some statements beginning with verse 10. And all of these statements center around Jesus Christ. He says in verse 10, that I may know Him. He says in verse 11, I follow after, or I might attain. He says in verse 12, I follow after. Also in verse 12, that I may apprehend. He says in verse 13, this one thing I do. Again, all of this centers around Jesus Christ. Verse 13 again, he says he reaches forth. And in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. These are the words of one who is entirely taken up with Jesus Christ. Now, it's not our purpose in this message to look at these verses in an expository way, but to use the word simply to frame the thought of the message. As you read the text, Paul is expressing a longing to have more of Christ. In fact, the caption over those eight verses that we read could simply be this: more of Christ. More of Christ. That was the sentiment of Paul. More of Christ. That ought to be the sentiment of every child of God. So we want to speak this morning on that subject. More of Christ. We want to consider, first of all, why this was the passion of Paul. Why did Paul want more of Christ? And secondly, we want to simply make application to ourselves. More of Christ. But why did Paul want? Why did Paul long? Why did he have this craving and this burning in his heart for more of Christ? Reason number one is that he had a personal saving experience of Jesus Christ. We know from Acts chapter 9 that one day Paul was walking on a road to Damascus. He's walking along in the vanity of his depraved mind. And was on that road that Christ met Paul. It was on that road that Paul, then named Saul, met Christ. And that day, all because of Jesus, that day Paul's enmity, his opposition, his resistance to God was overcome. That day, Paul was rescued from the chains of Satan and sin and death and hell. That day, all of these were overcome in the life of Paul. That day, he was set free from the guilt and the condemnation of his sin. That day he was cleansed of the filth and the defilement of his sins. That day he was rescued from the darkness and the ignorance of sin. That day he was rescued from the sickness of sin. He was rescued from the enslaving, imprisoning dominion of sin. That day he was rescued from the bankruptcy that sin causes, from the oppression that sin causes, from the hopelessness of sin. That day he was brought out of alienation and estrangement from God. That day he was rescued from the restlessness and the lifestyle of sin. That day Jesus met him as the Savior and the Redeemer. That day he met Jesus as his Savior and Redeemer of his perishing and hell-deserving soul. He met Jesus that day. And Paul knew from that day forward that it was Christ who saved his soul. Paul had been set free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan, set free from the darkness, set free from the wrath to come. And he knew that it was Jesus Christ who broke those chains. He knew that. He knew that it was Jesus Christ that set him free. You see, that day Paul passed from death unto life. And it was all because of Christ. That day, on that Damascus road, Paul had been reconciled. He had been justified. He had been forgiven. He had been accepted by God. He had been made a child of God. He had been changed from the inside out. And it was all because of Christ. And he knew that. He knew that it was all because of Christ. And for the rest of his life, Paul was a man on his way to heaven rather than a man on his way to an eternity in hell. And he knew that it was all because of Christ. Paul knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was Christ that saved his soul. And in our text, you can hear him say, "I want more of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ," because he knew Christ is a Savior. Also, Paul knew something of the person of Christ. Paul knew that Jesus Christ was God's remedy to man's greatest problem. He knew that personally. Paul knew that Christ was God's provision for man's greatest need. He found that out personally also. And knowing that, he simply wanted more. He simply wanted more of Christ. He couldn't get enough of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that Christ was the victor over Satan. He knew that Christ was the victor over sin and hell and death and the grave. And knowing that, Paul simply wanted more of Christ. He knew that Jesus Christ was the message of this book. He knew that. He didn't always know that. But he learned that from that day forward. That Jesus Christ was the message of this book. And knowing that, he wanted more and more of Christ. You cannot seriously and spiritually read this book without wanting more of Jesus Christ. If you read this book and you don't want more of Christ, you're not reading it right. You're doing something wrong. Jesus Christ is the message of this book. And Paul wanted more. He wanted more of Christ. He knew that Christ was God. And as God, he knew that Christ was the Almighty One. That Christ was the Eternal One. That Christ was the Immutable One. The Immortal One. The Omniscient One. The All-Sufficient One. He knew all of these things. He knew these things personally. He knew that Jesus Christ was living. He knew that Jesus Christ was the living, conquering, triumphant, overcoming Lamb of God. And knowing these things, he wanted more of Christ. He also knew by experience that God's grace, mercy and love and goodness was in Christ. It's all in Christ. And knowing that, he wanted more of Christ. He knew that Christ was all. He knew that Christ was everything. And now he simply wants more of Christ. Paul also knew that Christ was profitable to him. He knew that there was no condition that he could get in. There was no situation that he might find himself in. There was no circumstance that he might find himself in that was beyond the person and power of Jesus Christ. He knew that Christ was profitable to him. And knowing that, he simply wants more of Jesus Christ. He knew that there was no sin, there was no enslavement that was greater than Jesus Christ. Therefore, he wanted more of Christ. He knew that there was no problems. There were no difficulties, there were no trials, there were no afflictions, there was no needs that were beyond the person and the power of Christ. And knowing that, he wanted more of Christ. He knew that everything about Christ was for his good. Think about that. Child of God, everything about Jesus Christ is for your good. Everything about Jesus Christ is for our happiness. Everything. And Paul knew that. And knowing that, he simply wanted more. He wanted more of Christ. He knew that it was in Christ that he would find light. He knew that it was in Christ that he could find hope. He knew that it was in Christ that he could find strength. And knowing that, he simply wanted more of Jesus Christ. He knew that it was in Christ that he could find refreshment for his soul. He knew that it was in Jesus Christ that he could find relief, and that he could find joy, and that he could find solace. And therefore he wanted more of Christ. He knew that it was in Christ that he could find courage. He knew that it was in Jesus Christ that he could find peace. And therefore, he simply wanted more of Christ. He knew that in Christ he could find satisfaction of soul. He knew in Christ that he could find contentment of mind. He knew that in Jesus Christ he could find spiritual rejuvenation. He could find spiritual revival. He knew that in Jesus Christ he could find victory. Yes, he knew that everything about Christ was for his good, for his happiness. So he just wanted more. He wanted more and more and more of Christ. He knew that everything about Christ was profitable to him. And that all the blessings of God in his life were in and through Jesus Christ. Do you realize that today? That all the blessings of God come in and through Jesus Christ. That being said, we ought to want more We ought to want more and more and more of Jesus Christ. Yes, the yearning, the craving, the burning of the heart of Paul was, I want more of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ. We see this as his attitude all through his saved life. Everything about Jesus Christ tends to sanctify us and lift us above the world and prepare us for glory. And Paul knew this, and he simply wanted more of Jesus Christ. He knew that Christ was priceless. He knew that Christ was incomparable. He knew that Jesus Christ was irreplaceable. And he simply wanted more of Christ. As you read those 8 verses that we read for our text, you read those verses, and that's the message of those verses. More of Christ. More of Christ. As you follow Paul's life through the New Testament, you see those words. You do not see them in the Scriptures, but you see the message. You hear Paul saying, I want more of Christ. More of Christ. Now let's make application to ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, and we need to make personal examination. How much of Christ is in our lives? I mean, really look at it. How much of Jesus Christ is in my life? Let's break this down. How much of Christ is in our interests? The things that we're interested in. How much of Christ do we find in those interests? Examine your ways, your habits, your manner of living. How much of Christ is in our ways? We all have opinions. But how much of Jesus Christ is in our opinions? We all have feelings. How much of Jesus Christ is in our feelings? We all have moods. How much of Christ is in our moods? We all have viewpoints. Everyone here has a worldview. Everybody on earth has a worldview. How much of Christ is in our viewpoints? We all pursue things. How much of Christ is in our pursuit? We all have goals. How much of Christ is in our goals? Many times, young people are pressured to state their goals. And they're pushed to have goals. And I do not doubt that everyone needs goals. But we need to ask ourselves, how much of Christ is in our goals? Well, my goal is to reach a certain income by a certain age. How much of Christ is in that? My goal is to be here. Well, where's Christ in that? we all make choices. How much of Christ is in our choices? Oh, if there was more Christ in people's choices, they wouldn't ruin their lives. How much of Christ is in our choices? It's amazing as people are faced with decisions, the things they will consider in their choices and decisions. You don't hear too many talk about Christ in their choices and decisions. You hear about comfort, you hear about money, convenience, on and on we could go. We all have plans. How much of Christ is in our plans? Well, I want to retire by such and such an age. And I'm not condemning plans. But all our plans should be subject to the Lord. How much of Christ is in our plans? How much of Christ is in our attitudes? We all have attitudes. Our attitudes change every day. How much of Christ is in our attitudes? How much of Christ for those who are young, unmarried? How much of Christ is in your dating? For those who are married, how much of Christ is in your marriage? Look at your marriage. Can you see Christ? How much of Christ is in your home? Go through your home. How much of Christ is in your home? Well, Larry mentioned worship this morning. That's what we're here for. We need to ask ourselves, how much of Christ is in our worship? You can't worship God and bypass Christ. So how much of Christ is in our worship? We all have hopes. We all have expectations. But how much of Christ is in our hopes and in our expectations? These are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. These are all questions that we need to honestly examine. I ask you today, how much of Christ do you want in your life? I've heard God's people say, well, that's going a little too far concerning certain spiritual activities. I don't want to be a fanatic. You ought to be. How much of Christ do we want in our lives? We need to honestly answer that question. Or maybe we should ask ourselves, what is it that we want more of? Is it Christ? What is it that you want more of? If I only had more of such and such. What is it that you want more of? Is it Christ? Remember on the night of his birth, there was no room in the inn. So perhaps we need to ask ourselves, looking at our lives right now, how much room is there for Jesus Christ? The truth is, we can make more room for Jesus Christ. That's true of every one of us. Our lives are made up of days. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. And before long, you're a senior citizen. And how much has Christ been in your life? We all go through seasons. I'm not talking about summer, spring, summer, fall, and winter. But we all go through seasons in our lives. And how much of Christ is in those seasons? Our lives are made up of many events. Our lives are made up of many circumstances and situations. How much of Christ are in those events and those circumstances? Our life is made up of many experiences. How much of it involves Christ? It is sad, but if many were to answer this question honestly, these questions, they are saved, but there's so little of Christ in their lives. That's sad. But as you read these verses, it's more of Christ. More of Christ. More of Christ. That ought to be the pining of our heart. Whatever our circumstance, whatever our condition, that ought to be the pining of our heart. I want more of Christ. Wherever we are in our season or stage of life, that ought to be the pining of our heart. I want more of Christ. More of Christ. Someone sets you down at work for a job evaluation. And they may ask the question, what do you want more of? Try telling them, I want more of Christ. See the expression on their face. Brother Dan, that doesn't have any place in that. It has every place in it. That's our problem today. We try to keep Jesus out of certain places. And our pining ought to be, I want more of Christ. And this serves as a gauge. Our desire for more of Christ serves as a gauge of our whole spiritual condition. By our desire for how much more we want of Christ, we can judge the realization of our need of Christ. Jesus Christ is everything. He is Alpha and Omega and everything in between. He said to the apostles in John 15 and verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing. Hearing those words, those apostles should have realized right then and there, oh, how we need Him. Oh, how we need Him. Without Him, I can do nothing. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every single day of my life. And the more I realize my need, I'm not talking about a lost sinner now. I'm talking about those who are saved. We need to realize our daily need of Christ. And the more we realize our need of Christ, the more we'll say, I want more of Him. I want more of Him because I need Him. And the flip side of what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notice, I can do through Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. But I can do through Christ. I can do whatever God calls me to do through Christ. I can
through Christ please the Lord. I can through Christ obey the commands of God. I can through Christ do whatever He calls me to do. I can through Christ live above the world's ways. I can through Christ live victoriously over sin. Oh, we need Christ. And the more we realize we need Christ, the greater our yearning. I've got to have more. I've got to have more of Christ. It is by this desire we can judge our own personal knowledge of Christ. Those who do not want more of Christ do not know Him very well. Because the more you know Him, the more you want. We need to know more of His person. We need to know more about His life and His works as revealed in the Word of God. You follow Jesus to Gethsemane. It's a very solemn place. We need to know more of Jesus in Gethsemane. You follow Jesus to the cross. And we need to know more about Jesus upon that cross. You go to that tomb. And He came out of that tomb after 3 days and three nights. We need to know more about that. We need to know more about the power and the fervency and the depth of His love wherewith He loves us. We need to know more of His glory. He sits at the right hand of God. We need to know more of His glory. And the more we personally know the reality of these things, the more our heart yearns. I've got to have more. I want more of Christ. By this we can judge our love for Christ. The more we love Him, the more we want of Him. The more we love Him, the more we want of Him in our lives. By this we can judge our level of communion and relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, the more that we are with Him, the more we want. The more that we see Him, the more we want. The more that we talk with Him, the more that we want. The more that we hear His voice, the greater the craving for more of Christ. It is this desire for more of Christ that we can judge our thoughts concerning Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus asked, "What think ye of Christ?" We need to answer that question. We need to answer it honestly. The truth is, our lives speak loud and clear what we think of Christ. But what we think of Christ really determines if I want more of Him. If you don't think much of Christ, you're satisfied with a little or none at all. But our thoughts of Christ ought to grow every day. And with that growth, we want more and more of Christ. Again, the caption above those eight verses of our text, we could write, "More of Christ." more of Christ. That ought to be our regret when we come to the end of our lives. That I didn't have more of Christ in my life. More of Christ. The thought of Christ to Paul caused him to just bubble over with enthusiasm and passion and joy, and thanksgiving and praise. And it filled his life with this desire, with this attitude. I have to have more of Christ. Again, I ask you today, how much of Christ is in your life? How much of Christ do you want in your life? How much room right now? How much room do you have for Christ? Remember when they were building the wall in the book of Nehemiah? The builders came discouraged and distressed and said, We can't build, there's too much rubbish. Oh, how true. Oh, how true. Many times there's just not room for Christ because there's too much rubbish. And whether you and I realize it or not, we pick up rubbish in this world every day. There's a degree of rubbish that enters our mind every single day. You ever stop? I don't mean to pick on those who live in Kentucky, but you drive down the road in Kentucky and every now and then you'll see a porch. You don't see the porch because there's so much junk on it. I mean, unbelievable. I often wonder what was the very first piece they put there. And then didn't think about it for years and years and years. And it just kept piling, piling, piling up. And that's what we do. We do that spiritually. Put something in our minds and we keep it there. And then we put something else and something else and something else. And pretty soon you can't walk on the porch. There's no room. How much room do we have for Christ? How much room are you willing to make for Jesus Christ? How much rubbish are you willing to get rid of? Christ is everything. Everything about Him is for my good. Everything about Him is for my happiness. Everything about Him is for my benefit. I ought to want more and more of Christ. And everything I have in salvation is through Him. How much room do we have for Christ? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.